It's the Gadget Grill on the day before Australia Day on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, serving up the finest specials, this is our special, of what Australian inventions can offer to the world. That's right, you're listening to a special version of the Gadget Grill where we're going to look at stuff that basically we Aussies have done for the rest of society. You want to stop that?
Yep.
There you go. Okay, and over on the opposite side of me, making sure that nothing goes wrong, hopefully, is the other Australian in arms, Gary Stark.
That must be me. Good evening. Welcome to the Gadget Grill. We've got an interesting menu served up on this Chinese New Year and Australia Day.
Yeah, we've got oxtail.
Oxtail soup, pickled ox tongue.
Yeah, we're serving it with Vegemite dip on the side.
Yes.
And fish and chips, beer batter, because it's an Australia Day sort of preemptive Australia Day and Chinese New Year sort of special. And yeah, it's going to be kind of cool. We've got a guest in the studio with us tonight, a little guest on the right here.
Yeah, he's sitting up at the microphone ready to give us his thoughts.
He's not really ready to talk right now, it looks like.
I haven't opened the microphone up.
Yeah. But we do have a guest for later on, and we've got a whole bunch of news. It's been an interesting week for news, as it always is for news. You know, there's news every week.
There is. Otherwise, it'd be called Olds.
Yeah. Ba-dum-ts. And
I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Don't say it.
Yeah. We'll review something, I'm sure, and we've also got a new toy in the studio that the guy opposite me really wants to play with in a bit more depth.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a proper review of this next week, but we'll give you basically some live preemptive first impressions.
We will give you some live preemptive first impressions, and I was thinking of actually using it to in its HD mode to do a live webcam feed.
I don't think we can do that. But if we work out how, we should have it for another couple of weeks and we can try and get it working next week.
I just wonder how the bandwidth would handle
it. I don't think it would do anything. No. You know, it's like the few people listening to the show, good for you! I don't think we can afford to waste our webcam bandwidth on that.
No.
But before we get into all the stuff and rants and everything else, here's Sia with Little Black Sandals. It's the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM, also available on the World Wide Web at www.radio2rdj.com. And this is the Gadget Grill, and if you're looking for anything we're talking about tonight or in the past weeks, head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au. Across from me is Gary Stark, who's going to get into the news before me.
I am indeed, and I was wondering whether anybody out there was ever curious about how many people there are actually on the internet.
I'm more curious about how many people are surfing the stream right now. How many people are surfing the stream?
I haven't pulled that up on the screen as yet.
Okay, well, how many people are surfing the internet then?
Apparently, it has reached 1 billion people and climbing. A mob called Comscore World Metrics have done some research, and they reckon, when they did the research, that it was 1 billion 7,730,000 people, and that only includes people over the age of 15. Throw in the kids and
all the script kiddies you can think about.
Yeah, then it gets to 1,730,012.
That's a lot of people.
It is.
Is that uniques?
I don't know. I didn't ask that.
I'd hate to just be this one person sitting in his basement going, click, 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 click. It's all me! It's all me!
Yeah. Apparently, a year ago, IDC was suggesting a total number of 1.4 billion, and they were saying that that number would double within about 8 years, which sounds about right to me. These sort of things do typically double in about a period of 7 to 8 years. But those numbers, the sources that I have suggest that they're reasonably accurate and well-researched. And, that's a lot of people surfing the internet, and probably three of them are listening to us right now.
Three. Hey, that's a pretty good number considering how many people are listening to the web. I mean, we're just a small piece of that pie, But yes, we're a tasty piece, you know. We're like the key lime praline.
Are we good or what?
Hey, what are we?
I don't know. I'm just starting to get it now.
Are we good? Tell me before I do my news story. Go on.
You go and do your story.
Fine.
And I'll come back to it.
I'll do my news story. Obama is in. I mean, that's probably the biggest news story this week. I'm sure Nikki mentioned it. And the news for technology regarding Obama is that this week, immediately upon entering the White House, the Obama administration looked at the search index robots file, which is actually a little file that sits on the White House server and tells sites like, also engines like Google and Yahoo, what it's allowed to index. And previously, the Bush administration had said that you were allowed to index basically nothing. There were 2,400 lines telling it what it wasn't allowed to index. The Obama administration came in and basically said, do whatever you want. So it's been reduced to two lines, and they're the same two lines that every server basically has on the web. So good news, Obama has set the web free, is basically his first thing to do in office. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, speaking of office, Obama's staff apparently are using older versions of Windows. Apparently,
how old?
Windows 2003, Office 2003, not 2007.
Well, so they're lucky they're not using the XML stuff.
They're lucky they're not using the XML stuff. They don't have that wonderful ribbon device. God, I hate that. That is...
Do they still have to do with Clippy? Hi, you look like you've joined the White House. Would you like some help?
Hi, you look like you're in the Oval Office. Would you like some help?
Yeah, exactly. They've still got to deal with Clippy just as much as the rest of us.
That could be fun. Just make it look a bit like George W. Bush.
At one point, Clippy changed to one of those dogs. Maybe that dog is the White House dog that Obama's been alluding to.
Well, maybe. He said he's going to buy one for his kids. Did you say happy birthday yesterday?
No. Should I?
You should have, yes. Happy birthday to my Macintosh.
No, not to your Macintosh, to the Macintosh.
I'm sorry, I misread the article?
I think you misread the article.
The Mac was 25 years old yesterday. Can you believe that? Well, actually, yesterday in America, so right now on the 25th of January in Australia, that's when the Mac was announced, invented.
Did you bring the cake? Did you bring the cake?
I had it at the barbecue this afternoon.
Well, that's cheating. You can't just offer a birthday without bringing cake.
I had my cake and I ate it too.
Oh, wow. In other news, in Mac-related news, an iPod has been used as currency in New York City.
This is a very current story.
It's a very disturbing story. A 20-year-old tourist was in New York recently, and she got in a cab, and she took her to a place, and she tried paying with her credit card. The cab driver's credit card machine wasn't working. I'm wondering if it's...
So he said.
Yeah, so he said. So he demanded that she give her iPod, which is usually going to be worth a lot more than the taxi ride. And
yep.
If she didn't, he'd book her, you know, because all cab drivers in New York have the rights
book 'em,
of...
Dan.
Yeah, they have the rights of police officers. So she did it, and the case is going to go unsolved, basically, until, you know, the... cab driver is too silly to mention it to his mates, which I'm sure is probably currently happening. You keep going there, mate. You don't have that for much longer.
Yeah.
You have any more?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. On the subject of under new management with George W. Bush moving out of the White House and Obama moving in, another world leader, the Pope, in fact, has launched his own channel on the video sharing website YouTube. A Vatican spokesman says that the head of the Roman Catholic Church wants to reach out to the digital generation. Isn't that cute?
Pope TV. Pope TV, the newest MTV network.
Working in collaboration with Google, the Vatican will supply a variety of material to the new channel. The church, of course, will have full control of the content. Pope Benedict's speeches are expected to be the most important items put on the site. And the Vatican already has its own website, but this latest move represents the Holy See's biggest reach into cyberspace. So there you have it.
I really like the concept. I mean, I want to see pop-up prayer videos, you know, like the old VH1 sort of things where someone starts talking about the Old Testament. All these random bits about the Old Testament pop up. Oh, I didn't know that about Jesus. That's kind of cool. That'd be kind of interesting.
Oh, I can just... actually, somebody should remake... Midnight Cowboy movie, John Voight and Dustin Hoffman, and you could just redo that scene where where you got the Bible basher in his hotel room, And he's got the church thing in his bathroom, and he could redo that with going to YouTube and seeing the Pope on video. I think that'd make it rather interesting.
Maybe they should remake movies, like remake The Gladiator and put Pope Benedict as all these random characters, re-get the youth back into its things. Can I talk about one other story?
You certainly can.
There's this weird story coming out of Pennsylvania in America regarding this new thing called sexting. This is a really serious one.
Oh, yes.
It's really confusing. Three or six people were arrested. They're under the age of 18. Three girls, three boys were arrested at a Pennsylvania high school this week because they were doing a practice known as sexting. Three were, the other three were receiving. And this practice is apparently...
It takes two to tango.
Yeah, well, exactly. The girls in this were 14 or 15, and the boys were 16 or 17. The girls were taking nude or semi-nude photos of themselves and MMSing it to... Assuming their boyfriends and whatnot who were 16 and 17. Now, this is being classed as child pornography. I'm a little bit confused because last time I checked, pornography was the act of something sexual. And back when most of us were kids, and, you know, still kids today, for the most part... Yesterday. The same thing sort of happened with Polaroids. This is not exactly a new practice. It really makes me wonder if... I mean, this is taking place in America, so we're talking about a place that is more overprotective about everything than anywhere else on the planet. But it still starts to question where the boundaries of these laws meant to protect kids should start applying.
Yeah, that's rather disturbing as to where some people think the boundaries do lie. I think you know, sort of the way some people try to impose their views on others, it terrifies me. It really does.
It's a bit weird, and I'm not sure if I agree with, you know, arresting six people who are under the age, who are just experimenting with the concept of sexuality, is a good way of saying, hey, these child pornography laws are really working here.
Is it any different from a couple of six-year-olds sitting at the back of a classroom playing You Show Me Yours and I'll Show You Mine? I'm not saying it's good, I'm not saying it's right, but equally I'm saying, is it really a major deal?
It's going to happen. It's going to happen
people
anyway.
People have been doing it for years. And most people grow out of it quickly.
Yeah. It's... One other thing. Have you got your copy of Windows 7 Beta yet?
Yes.
Okay. Has anyone else out there?
Hang on. Let me ask them. Have you...
Shout at your radio.
Shout at your radio. Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Well,
Shout louder.
Some of you said no. We just heard that. The extension, or there's now an extension. It was actually technically the second extension for downloading the Windows 7 Beta. Microsoft are saying that so many of you are interested, but you're just not downloading it. Well, they're encouraging you to. We happen to agree, actually. We think you should download a copy and try it out for yourselves. It's great. It's been extended to February 10th.
Excellent.
I bet you it gets extended again, to be honest. Like, this is, to be honest, from playing with it, Microsoft's next big thing. It really is going to be good for them. And you can even check out some guides on how to use it on our website.
Yes, we've got a couple of interesting ones up there, and we're going to put some more up there.
We are going to put some more. You're going to put some more
I'm going to do some more and put some more stuff up there.
I've got a feature coming up about comics, portable comics on your iPhone and whatnot.
Portable comics on your iPhone.
Well, I like portable comics. I mean, I'm a geek, so I read them naturally.
I think we should play some music.
Yeah, you probably should. This is Claire Bowditch. Oh, in case you're curious, we're playing all Australian music tonight. Fall at Your Feet. I'm really close tonight. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ.
And I am Gary Stark.
And he's going to interrupt me.
Of course I am. Yeah. And sitting on the other side of the other microphone is Lee Stark.
Aloha, stuff.
And we're now going to talk about...
Australian inventions. Yeah. Oh, we figure it's an important thing to take a look at. We'll go away from our regular subject of the night, like we normally do. Tonight, to celebrate the Australian inventions that have been so pivotal over the past, 100 years or so, basically.
Yeah.
A little bit more in some of them. We're not going to go through year by year because, that would be boring.
Boring.
Yeah. Instead, we're just going to highlight a few and talk about them. We're going to start with actually the first full-length feature film came out of Australia.
Yes, in 1906, was it?
1906. It's the story of the Kelly Gang.
Yes. Yeah. There's a copy of that movie, I believe, held in Film Sound, the National Film and Sound Archive in Canberra. And I believe a few years ago, they actually found some extra parts to the movie.
And well, deleted scenes. I like deleted scenes.
Yeah.
Does it come with audio commentary from the director? You know, just play back an LP at the right, or play back a piece of vinyl at the right time, and you can sync it up with Pink Floyd. No. There's some great things. Like, you'd never believe Australia did this. We should probably mention automatically The Hills Hoist, 1945. You know,
yes.
Okay, there, I've mentioned it. I can get away from that. Let's talk about some things you probably didn't expect. The disposable syringe was invented here.
Ouch.
Well, no, it's good for some people. It's great for medicine. 1949. Didn't expect that.
Okay.
The ultrasound was invented in Australia.
Okay.
You know, this is by George Kossoff and David Robinson. It's this, and the ultrasound is the most useful technique, obviously, for detecting a life in a woman's womb.
It's used for a lot of other things as well these days. Yeah. They just keep extending the uses of ultrasound technology.
There's also the black box, which is actually orange, you know, because it needs to be found in wreckage, so black's probably not the best.
So why do they call it the black box?
I'm guessing maybe the data is classed as black. Maybe it's because it's top secret, essentially.
Of course, it begs the question that the black box, as you know, is virtually indestructible.
It's made out of like massive titanium.
Why don't they make the rest of the plane out of the same stuff?
I think they've asked this question before, and I have a feeling it's because the plane would fall from the sky very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. That was created in Melbourne. Now, Victorians really invent a lot. Like,
there's nothing else to do.
They can watch the Formula One, and while they're watching the Formula One, they can realize that the race camera was invented for those Formula One cars in Australia by Jeff Healey for the Bathurst, you were saying.
It was for Bathurst. I can remember watching the Bathurst, and they actually stuck it in the headlights of some of the cars in those
days. That's a good place for them. That's actually where the video game cameras go when they do them for video games.
They stuck them inside the cab, and they stuck them in the headlights, and that made for some very interesting shots as you're going through some of the top of the mountain parts of Bathurst as the cars were coming down the mountain, and you've got one car just right on the bumper bar of the car in front of it, and it was good fun.
Is there any car racing or race cameras done in utes?
Well, yes, in fact, because they have the ute racing these days, and they will have the onboard cameras in the utes. Well, Why do you ask?
Well, that's kind of cool, because that would be a completely Australian invention race system for the most part, because the ute was invented by Lewis Band in 1933 for Ford in Geelong.
Wow.
Oh, that's kind of cool, isn't it?
I did not know that.
We're the only country in the world that really have the ute, so I guess it kind of makes it. I've never seen a ute in America.
Well,
I mean, the pickup truck's not really a ute.
The pickup truck is not a ute, but I'm thinking that Ford in the 70s, they did have a type of ute there too. I'm thinking Cougar, but that's not quite right. But I think it was one of the Mercury lines did have a ute type of body, or a panel van type of body, something akin to what we know as that.
There was a car, you were saying, some sort of engine that was invented here. It's still technically in production for design. What was it again?
The Sarich orbital engine.
Yeah, how does that work? Because I researched and I'm like, I have no idea what this means.
Okay, with a normal engine, you've got 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 cylinders either in line or in a V formation or in a flat formation basically, the movement of the engine is perpendicular to the direction of travel of your vehicle, and that's inefficient because you've then got to convert the direction of travel of the motive power, which is the engine, to the direction of travel that the wheels need to be in, so that the car can actually the wheels can rotate and move the car forward. By using a rotating engine, you've already got you've already got the engine going round and round rather than up and down. I didn't quite describe that correctly because you need a crankshaft to convert the up and down movement of the cylinders, the pistons in the cylinders, to going round and round. By eliminating the crankshaft, you just have the engine directly going round and round. Converting the movement of the engine from being perpendicular to the direction of travel to make it go in the direction of the travel, where the wheels go, requires another piece of Australian technology, that being the differential.
Yeah, this is a good one because this has been used in cars or in electronic. This was created in 1897 by South Australian David Shearer. 1897 for the diff.
Wow.
I mean, like, come on.
That's 111 years ago.
And by the way, I've actually now got a reason. I just pulled it up now on why the black box is actually called the black box, even though it's orange.
Excellent.
The original invention was housed in black Bakelite, so the British dubbed it the black box. However, now they're made in bright orange to make them easy to detect after a crash.
And Bakelite would have trouble dealing with the impact, I would imagine, as well, compared to titanium.
I expect it might shatter.
That would be what it would do.
The two-stroke lawnmower was invented in Australia.
Not by New Zealanders?
No.
No, because you just didn't bring a sheep in and mow the lawn down with a sheep?
That's really mean. This was invented in 1930. And actually, the notepad, the thing that you write on, not the notepad computer, it's a notebook computer. The
right.
Notepad, the thing that you pull out, was written on, created by J.A. Birchall from Launceston.
From Launceston, Taswegian.
Yeah, I know, someone who can actually do something.
Somebody who wasn't spending time with his sister.
That's very mean. Other stuff came out, like Xerox photocopying. The actual technology, xerography, was created at the University of Sydney in 1907.
How original was that?
Oh, man. I mean, xerography, and then Xerox came along and said, Xerox photocopying. Yeah, that's a good name, that'll work.
Yes.
That's futuristic enough. Blast glass is Australian.
What is blast glass?
It's blast-proof glass. With the air cavity to absorb shockwave from explosions. That was created in Australia.
When?
It doesn't actually say. It was invented by a guy named Peter Stevenson, so congratulations.
Not Peter.
Yeah, Peter. Not the Peter from out there. Not
no,
the Peter from
sorry.
The shed.
Oh.
We're coding the shed this week in blast-proof glass.
That sounds like a good
take
idea.
Take your best shot. Vegemite, however, was created in Australia. No one really cares.
Actually, a lot of people
a lot
probably.
Of people care.
No one else would want it.
And there's quite a lot of things. Starch-based biodegradable packaging was created in 2000. This is actually going to be a big thing. I should mention that a lot of tech companies, what I talked to last year was Linksys. They're working on, from what I remember them telling me, a modem based with, or a modem or some sort of networking device that's made of starch-based components. So if it gets old, you more or less can put it in your garden and it will decay. With everything else, which is a really good idea.
That's real handy for collecting your dog poo in, isn't it?
That's really
mean. Throw it in your compost heap. It'll all degrade, and you have lots of potassium and all sorts of stuff, and you'll have really, really. Let's leave that there.
Yeah, the heart pacemaker was invented in Australia in 1926 by someone. Someone who wished to remain anonymous from the Crown Street Women's Hospital in Sydney.
Oh.
That's kind of a shame. It makes me wonder if it was a girl who invented it, because I imagine at the time that that wouldn't have been proven very popular, so anonymous would have been the best thing to be.
I wonder who that is.
Well, it's anonymous.
They wrote a lot of songs.
Yeah, yeah. The anthrax vaccine was also invented in Australia in 1918 by John McGarvey Smith.
John McGarvey Smith?
Yeah. They've got a lot of things. The bionic ear was invented
Was his grandmother the lady who invented the apple?
Oh, Granny?
Yeah.
I've got no idea. Why don't you ask? Why don't you call up the relative and ask
him up and ask the question.
Before you do, make sure your hearing's in check, you know, because the bionic ear was invented here.
Yes.
Yeah, bionic ear.
Oh, and on the subject of bionic body parts, the fake skin,
the spray-on skin was invented here, which has proved especially popular for burn victims because that's what it's designed for.
Well, that was invented following the Bali bombing in 2004, October 2004.
I think it was something like that, yeah. Samba Software, now you can explain what this is for. This was invented in Australia.
Yeah, this is a guy down in Canberra who developed the means for
Andrew Tridgell. Congratulations, Andrew Tridgell. You've made our lives better.
I will tell you something about Andrew. Well, something new about Andrew in just a moment, actually. But yeah, Andrew.
Better be better than that damn something about Mary thing I saw.
Yes. Andrew developed the software that allows Linux systems and basically any other system to be recognized. It allows hard disk systems, file systems to be recognized by Windows-based file systems. So Without Samba, your Macintosh could not read your Windows hard drive or your Linux hard drive. That's what Samba's all about. But Andrew, there was a Linux conference in Tasmania last week. And
that's cool.
Yeah, and there was a senior Microsoft exec was down there talking about talking about Microsoft's efforts in the open source environment
to move to Linux and adapt everything else of theirs to Linux.
Well, yeah, and Andrew raised some very serious questions and really got the whole conference asking the Microsoft guy some questions that he was apparently very, very uncomfortable with.
Gee, I wonder why. I'll mention a couple more things before we break to a song.
Yep.
The Fairlight CMI, which is a synthesizer. Did you know that was actually invented in the suburb of Fairlight?
Over at Manly. You went past there yesterday. You actually waved to the Fairlight across there. Yes,
so
I know that.
So big thanks to Peter Vogel and Kim Ryrie in 1979 for creating a piece of technology that more or less inspired, basically half of the computer synthesizers out there in the world.
Yeah, the Fairlight CMI, computerized musical instrument.
That's the one. And one final one, the dual flush toilet. That was invented in Australia.
I am flushed with success.
Flushed with success. And the next song we're playing, is he a Kiwi? Do we count him as being Australian?
Kiwi, but a lot of his work is done here these days. But music does not come much better than Neil Finn, Don't Dream It's Over.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
And if you didn't understand what was just said, it might have been said too silently in the studio of us right now.
How can something be said too silently?
It could be said too silently. He might
quietly, but not silently. If it's said silently, you can't hear anything.
You know, stop correcting me. Go back to your damn booth.
Let me go to sleep.
Go back to your booth, producer.
I'm pushing your buttons.
Yeah, go back to your booth. In the studio with us at the Gadget Grill is Wally. Is it Wally?
Wally. Welcome to the studio, Wally. Welcome to the Gadget Grill. And what are you? Why are you in the studio with us today, Wally? Oh, really?
He's promoting his new movie that recently came out on DVD, Wally, which is quite a great movie. What's he doing?
He's excited.
He's as excited about the movie as we are.
Yeah.
Stop it! Stop doing that. Okay, it's a great movie, isn't it?
It's a good movie.
It's quite an exceptional. he agrees. If you can hear that, he seems to agree. He's gripping the mic right now. It's kind of strange. Big thanks to Disney for letting us have this thing.
Yes.
Stop doing that.
Oh dear, oh dear. He likes the limelight.
Wally, one of the best computer animated movies of our time. I mean, seriously, when you think about it, what the hell?
He's never that noisy at home.
No, he's never that noisy at home.
He's excited about the environment.
Yeah, about being here amongst all these computer parts.
He's looking for Eva.
Yeah. You go over there, Wally.
Sit down. Sit, stay, roll over.
Wally is one of the probably best movies. Like, if you're looking for a movie that's just all about the geek joke and anything else, this is it. It's such an amazing movie.
It is a good movie. It is well produced. It is a lot of fun. Very enjoyable, very creative, very clever. The animation is superb.
Yeah, and it's just so lovable. It's so cute. If you don't go, oh, within the first couple minutes, there's probably something very wrong with you. Not to sound...
I didn't, and there is something very wrong with me.
At least we know there's something very wrong about you.
We are now confirming that.
Yeah. It's absolutely worth it. If you're a geek or if you're not a geek, it's just if you love movies in general and you haven't checked out WALL-E, I highly suggest you do. Apparently, you know, so does WALL-E. Just self-promotion, more self-promotion from the electronic robot.
Take that.
Take that, yeah. We've got a couple more minutes left. I guess you can talk about what you've been playing with for tonight.
Yeah, I have in my hands a camera. It is the Canon 5D Mark II.
And keep in mind, he's only been playing with this for the last two and a half minutes, basically.
I've only had a couple of minutes with it. Lee's had it for the whole weekend.
Not really. I've had it for like 2 days, but yeah.
Yeah, for the whole weekend so far. I've only just picked it up this weekend. We've got a 24 to 105 mm on it. Evening, sir. There's Mr. Richardson. And it's 21 megapixel. It's got a video mode in it, high definition video mode.
1080p video mode.
Yeah, it is. I am impressed with how it feels in the hand. I've taken a few photos in here of Lee with WALL-E and Lee at the microphone and so on.
We'll put them up on the Gadget Grill website later
on. And we will... look forward to a review of it on the Gadget Grill website in the next few days, and also we're going to talk about it in full in next week's show, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we're going to do a review for next week. I mean, we might bring along a useless gadget if we can find one.
I'm sure we can probably find one. At least.
There were some weird ones that popped up this week. I can't remember what they are. I'll remember what they are for next week. So tune in next week for useless gadgets. But actually next week, we've got something interesting to talk about. We're going to be talking about portable applications. The idea of not really so much needing a laptop, but just bringing with a USB key and plugging it in and having all your stuff on that. We're talking email, internet, browser rather, passwords,
Password protection is important because you've got to keep your password secure, of course. But if you're anything like me, you've got 7 million passwords, and how the hell do you remember them all?
Well, we'll talk about how you'll do that next week. Well, there's even a way to edit your music and watch your movies on the go. You don't need a laptop for everything. It's good to know that. We might even have a competition starting from next week. We've been talking about the boys in sales about that. You know,
yes, we have.
All two of them.
The sales team has been out and about scouting for
stuff.
Interesting stuff.
Lots of stuff
that
and
we
things.
Could offer as prizes here on the Gadget Grill, and they have come up with something absolutely wonderful.
Yep, we're giving the gift of stuff.
A gift of stuff. We've actually got
a few of them.
We've got a few of them. We have an adequate sufficiency of these, and I'm sure that every listener will be able to get one.
That's
both of you.
Yep. No, you said there were at least three listening. So
there were
three.
I checked a few moments ago, and there were still three. Because one of them. Is somebody whom we know and love.
Yeah, absolutely. And another one is who I know and love. And that's, you know.
Well, that's just about eliminated a lot of them.
So, anyone else can listen to the podcast. Check out www.gadgetgrill.com.au for all the podcasts. But for now, we're going to say goodbye. We'll see you next week. This is Pete Murray, a chance to say goodbye, coincidentally enough. See ya. Have a good week.
Have a good week.